Well, thank you, worship team. About a year ago, a friend of mine contacted me and wondered if we could get together and catch up. This was a friend that him and I went way back, and we had kind of kept up with each other over the years. But it had been about 2 years since we had been together, and so I said, sure, and we set a time. And so one night after work, we sat down over our slice of pizza and began to chat and catch up, and we went through, you know, all the usual stuff. We talked about family and work and stuff. And then this friend of mine says to me, how's your relationship with God going? And so I told him a little bit. I said, you know, it's going good. And I said, how about you? How's your relationship with God going? And he said, well, he said, my wife and I, he said, we're just really starting to try to walk with God again. I said, really? What? You know, tell me about what went on. He said, well, he said, at our church, he said, there was a woman that was sick. And he said, as a church, we prayed for her. And as my wife and I, we prayed for her, and we really believed that God was going to heal her and spare her life. And then one day she passed away. And he said, that just really wrecked us. That wrecked our faith. And he said, we just walked away from God for about a year and a half and kind of wandered into the wilderness, wondering, what in the world, God, are you doing? I wonder if you can relate to praying something. In your mind, it made sense that God should answer. And you prayed and you believed, and God didn't answer. What if you can relate to that kind of disappointment? I remember a couple years back, a similar situation in my life where I was really ended up feeling disappointed. At that time, Julie and I were on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ, and we were working in partnership with CBC, and we were reaching out to some of the local college campuses. And a gentleman from York County got in contact with me and met with me, and he had got my name from Campus Crusade headquarters, and he was a godly guy that really had a passion for evangelism. And he said, I really believe that God wants us to raise money to get the gospel into the hands of every college student in York County. And at that time, Campus Crusade had this little evangelistic tool. It's called a freshman survival kit. It was like a little gift bag, and it was just an exposure to the gospel. And he said, I want you to pray with me to see if that's where God's leading. And I prayed with him, and I thought, you know what? God is in this. And he said, I'll raise the money, and we'll do this. And so I said, okay. So he started raising the money, and in faith, I ordered, I forget how many of these freshman survival kits. It was like $14,000 worth of merchandise. And the stuff shows up in boxes. I stack my office full of these boxes, and I'm excited. I'm like, I can't wait to see what God's going to do with this. And about that time, this guy comes to me, and he says, hey, he said, I'm getting transferred in my job, and I'm going to Texas. But don't worry. You know, one of these things. Don't worry. I got good people that are going to finish this project for me. And so I continued to pray, believing that God was going to raise up the money. And I prayed. And then I prayed some more, and I prayed. And guess how much money came in? None of it. So I had a problem. I had $14,000 worth of stuff sitting in my office. And I didn't want to hand it out because I didn't have a way to pay for it. So I finally called Crusade headquarters and I said, I got a problem. I got all this merchandise and I don't have a dime for it. And they said, well, I'll tell you what. If you're willing to come up with the money to ship it back down here, we'll just re-inventory it and we won't charge you for it. And so I remember loading up this truck with all these boxes, and driving down to the upstore and sending all this stuff back, wondering, God, where were you in that? Now, we believed and we prayed, and you didn't answer. And I wonder if you can relate to that. Well, I want you to open up your Bibles this morning to Colossians chapter 1. In the last 2 weeks, Pastor Jeff has done a great job of kind of launching us into this series, and I'm going to be actually with you for two times in this 13 weeks. I'm going to be up here this morning talking about prayer, and I'm going to be back in November to talk about parenting. Parenting and prayer. As I thought about it, they really go well together. Because if you don't believe in prayer before you're a parent, you certainly do after. So that's kind of my part in that. But before we jump into this passage, I'd like to just take a moment and pray and ask God that He would be our teacher this morning. So let's do that. Father, you know that as I come into this time this morning, that I really have nothing to offer anyone in this room on the subject of prayer. But you do, and you've given us your word, and you've given us your Holy Spirit. And as we look at this passage this morning, I pray that the combination of those two would illuminate each one of our hearts, understand a little bit more about prayer. And so we asked that you would just really focus all of us. Lord, give me the words. I pray that you would just really speak through me. And then I pray that you would speak to each heart, including my own, so that we could be know a little bit more and know a little bit better how to pray. So I pray these things in your name and for your glory. Amen. So we come to this passage in Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 9. Paul says this, and this is Paul's prayer for the people at Colossae. He said, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you," verse 9, "we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin." Now, as we look at Paul's prayer this morning, I just want to tell you kind of where I'm coming into this at. This is not a message about why we should pray. I'm assuming that most everyone in this room is like me. Most of us are convinced that we're supposed to pray. The problem is this. If there's such a thing as like PhD level prayer, right? If there is such a thing. I feel like I'm about day 3 in kindergarten. Okay, so I feel like most of us probably feel that way. Okay, most of us come in here and we say, it's kind of like humility. I mean, if you meet a Christian, you go, "Man, I am so humble. I mean, I got this humility thing figured out." You just go, "No, you don't," right? And so it's kind of like that with prayer. So I figured most of us are coming in this room feeling like, yeah, we should be praying, and most of us probably are praying to some extent, but most of us probably feel like we have a lot of room to grow in it. And I know I feel that way. And so what this message this morning is more about, how do we grow in prayer? So I want to give you from this passage two parts that Paul includes in his prayer. Because if we're going to grow in our prayer life, I believe that both of these parts need to be part of our prayer life. Now that's a lot of P's this morning. I've worked real hard all week, like saying, hoping I don't stumble over like the Apostle Paul passionately prayed for the people of Colossae. Okay. So the first part I want to give you to Paul's prayer is the word petition. Petition. You can follow along if you want in the notes, and as well as up on the screen. The word is petition. And the idea of petition, of course, is to make requests of God. To be asking Him to do something is the idea of petition. Petition. Now, this is in keeping with other scriptures. And so, actually, let me just read first Paul's petition here in Colossians, verse 9 of chapter 1. And he says, "Asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding." Again, this is in keeping with other scriptures, so I'm going to put some other scriptures up on the screen. You can just follow along. Let me read four of them. Philippians 4:6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition," there we see that word, "with thanksgiving, present your requests," there we see that word request, "to God." 1 Peter 5:7, "Cast all of your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you." Luke 11:9-10, this is actually the very words of Jesus. Jesus says, "So I say to you, ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For anyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be open." James 4:2-3, "You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." So you see this idea of petition. Okay, so here's what I want you to do. This is going to involve class participation. So I want you to take your hands and I want you to just put them like this. I want everyone to do this, unless you're unable. And when we think of petition, what do we think of? We think of praying, right? So I want you to put your hands together so to help you remember these points. Okay, so you got that? Okay. Now, most of you are saying, you can put your hands down now. Okay. Or you can put them back around your spouse or whatever you were doing, or write notes or whatever. Most of you are probably saying, Come on, Jim, of course. Petition, that's why we pray. We pray to ask God to do something, right? But I want you to notice what Paul's petition is. Because as I lived with this passage for a while, what he prayed for the people of Colossae amazes me. Now, to set it in context, Paul's never been to Colossae. He didn't start the church there. Jeff set that up for us 2 weeks ago. It was started by Epaphras. Verse 7 of chapter 1. Paul's heard of their faith. He's writing a note to them. But certainly he had to understand some of the issues that were going on in the people's lives at the church of Colossae. But he doesn't pray about those things. Notice his petition in verse 9. Asking God, this was his prayer, I'm asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now, I don't know about you, but that's not what I pray, right? I face a difficult situation in my life. What does my petition look like? God, there's a problem. Fix the problem, right? Isn't that how we pray? God, I need a job. Fix the problem. God, we need some more income. Fix the problem. God, I'm sick, or so-and-so, fix the problem, right? Isn't that how we pray? And we almost kind of pray with this air of, come on, God, were you sleeping? You know, wake up. You messed up here. This isn't in my plan. Right? That's how we pray. Now, we might never say that out loud, but that's somehow some of the process that goes through our thoughts when we pray. I remember a number of years ago, I was in an ABF, and ABF is like fancy code words around here for Adult Bible Fellowship. So if you're new, that's what that stands for, Adult Bible Fellowship. You'll hear people say ABF, and you think, what's that? It's Adult Bible Fellowship. So I was in an ABF, and it's usually there's usually a teaching time, and there's usually a prayer and share time. So we're in the prayer and share time. And this guy raises his hand and says, I got a prayer request. And he says, there's this guy at work that doesn't like me. He's making my life difficult. He's harassing my faith. He's mocking my faith. So here's my prayer request. I would like you to pray that God would change his heart or smite him. Now, you have to know who said this. I mean, it was in fun. But don't we want to pray like that sometimes? God, fix the problem. But that's not what Paul prayed. Paul prayed, fill them with the knowledge of his will, your will, God, through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now, how would that change our lives? If when we're going through hardship and difficult seasons and we want to pray, God, fix the problem, how would it change our outlook if we were absolutely convinced that what we were in was God's will for us? That would change our perspective on the problem, wouldn't it? And Paul says, fill them. Give them the conviction that what they're going through is your will for them. And notice what he says after that. And we pray this, why? Verse 10. In order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. I like those words. I would really like that to describe my life, wouldn't you? And how do we get there? By being filled with the knowledge of his will. So often we want to pray as if we are God's advisors, as if we know better. Prayer, then, is often more about aligning our hearts with the will of God than it is about changing the will of God. Let me say that again. Prayer, then, is often more about aligning our hearts with the will of God than it is about changing the will of God. And I know theologically that gets really kind of messy. As we could walk through the scriptures and we could see countless times when God called people to pray and they prayed and he moved in a different way. So God does answer prayer. So I'm not here to say that God doesn't answer prayer. He does. So somehow we got to balance the idea that we're called to pray with the sovereignty of God, the idea that we're called to pray and make requests to Him with the idea that God knows what's going to happen ahead of time. But we need to trust in God when He doesn't answer our prayer. And so I want you to go like this again. This is petition. So we got to start here. I'm not suggesting that we don't share with God what's on our hearts. In fact, we should. My kids will come to me and they'll say, "Daddy, I want something." Right? And I want to know. I don't say, you know what I want? No. Okay, God is a loving Father. So I don't do that with my kids. I say, "What do you want?" And they'll say, "Well, for Christmas, what I want is a BB gun or whatever." And so I want to know that, right? So you got to start here. But where you need to end up with prayer is to hold things open-handedly like this. I want you to move your hands like that. Start here. Go here. Because what I know as a dad is, sometimes what my child wants and what is best for them is two different things. Well, why do you want a BB gun? So I can shoot my sister? No, no. Wrong answer, right? And who's our example of this? Jesus, right? Remember the Garden of Gethsemane? There's Jesus in the middle of the night knowing that the next day He's got to go to the cross for your sin and mine. And what does He pray? Father, petition. Father, if you would, please take this cup from me. But not my will, but yours be done. And so Paul's petition for the people of Colossae is that they would have the firm conviction that they are in the center of God's will. Oh, how that would change our lives. Oh, how that would change our lives. Second part to Paul's prayer. The first is petition. The second is praise. We find this in the end of verse 11, beginning of verse 12, where Paul says, "And joyfully giving thanks to the Father." So, if this is petition, here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand up. We're going to give you a symbol here for praise. I want you to stand up if you're able. If you're not able, that's okay. If this is petition, the second part is praise. I want you to put your hands up in the air like this. I know we're not a church that normally does this. I know I'm taking some of you way out of your comfort zone. But 2 weeks ago, I was at the Philadelphia Eagles opening home opener, and I saw a lot of this. And it was for the wrong reasons. Okay, so I just wanted, now that I saw that with God's people, great. Okay, have a seat. So you remember that now, right? Petition and praise. And of course, this is in keeping with other parts of Scripture too. Philippians 4:6, which we've already read, says this: "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "And give thanks," it's up on the screen, "in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Give thanks in all circumstances. Bring praise to God. Bring praise to God. Now, we don't pray at any time to win God's approval. So we're not talking about praying to win God's approval. And Pastor Jeff did a great job last week of setting this up, talking about how the gospel is good news. But we don't pray to win God's approval because God sent Jesus to the cross to die for our sins, rise again 3 days later, so we have His approval. So we go and we can go because of that approval that we have. So we don't pray for His approval. We go for it. I was talking with a friend, about a week and a half ago. And he was telling me a little bit about what was going on in his family. And he said this. He made a comment that just I felt so tied in with this passage. He said, there's a family member. He's like, our relationship's been kind of deteriorating with them. He said, now it's to the point that this person only ever calls if they need something. Maybe you can relate to that. Maybe you have a family member like that. You know, the phone rings, you call their ID. You say, oh, it's my brother, it's my uncle, whatever, my dad. What does he want? He must need something, right? And I thought, I wonder how often God feels like that from us. There's Hodenstein again. What kind of jam is he in now? He must need something, right? See, if our prayer life is only petition, then we begin to treat God like some divine bellhop or like Santa Claus, right? Like, hey, God, I really need something. And praise allows us to be in relationship. And I thought about this too. You might be sitting here saying, well, "Well, Pastor, you have no idea what I'm going through, and there's not much in my life worthy of being of praising God for right now." Well, read the rest of the passage with me. "And joyfully giving thanks to the Father, why? Who has qualified you?" Notice whose action this is. It's no action on my part. It's action on God's part. "Thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light." So walk through your Bible if you want. Look at all the different saints in here. We're sharing in their inheritance in the kingdom of light. Verse 13, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sin." And I'm here to tell you, I don't know what you're going through this morning, and I don't know how bad it is, but I'm telling you, if you've placed your faith in Christ and Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, this is still true about you. And that's worth praising God for. And it doesn't matter what you're going to go through, because this is going to remain true, that God has qualified you and I to have an inheritance and has redeemed us and given us the forgiveness of sin no matter what we're going through. 1 Thessalonians 5:8 doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. It says give thanks in all circumstances, and there's a big difference. And so no matter what we're going through, no matter where God's will is taking us, we are able to lift our hands in praise and give thanks to the Father. So, we start with petition, we hold it open-handedly, and we include praise. Two parts to Paul's prayer: open-handed petition and praise. As I was thinking about this sermon, I remember one night, it was August 24th, 1999. It was a Tuesday morning. And the phone rang at like 1 in the morning, and I was supposed to go later that morning and bring my son, my newborn son, and my wife home from the hospital. Many of you know the story I've told before. But in that process of going to LGH, when the phone rang, the doctor came on the line and said, "Your son has a heart problem. We're putting him on a helicopter, and we're flying to Hershey." So I go to LGH, they discharge Julie, we get in the car, and I remember that drive from LGH to Hershey in the middle of the night. There's very few words said, but somewhere after we got out of E-Town, headed up 743 on the way to Hershey, I just remember praying, "God, would you please spare my son?" Petition. "But if you do not, I will love you, I will serve you, and I'll follow you anyway." God answered that prayer. 11 years later, I sometimes ask why. Pardon me as I hide behind the podium. That came out wrong. That's not what I meant. God answered that prayer beautifully. But I do ask the question sometimes, why? Why did he answer that prayer for us? When there are other people in this congregation who prayed the same prayer, and God in his sovereignty, his ways higher than our ways, his thoughts higher than our thoughts, his plans higher than our plans, did not answer that prayer. Why? I don't know. I do know that before I left the house that morning, I called Elam and Gertie, Pastor Elam and Gertie, and woke them up and shared. I said, "Can you pray for us?" And then I called Pastor Jeff. He didn't answer the phone. Later on, Elam and Gertie came into the hospital to see us, and Gertie said to me, "After you called, I never went back to sleep. I stayed up the rest of the night and prayed." I was like, well, maybe that's the answer, because I believe God listens to Gertie. But there's another time. February 28th, 2008, the phone rang about 1 in the morning again. And this time it's my dad, and he's saying the paramedics are here and Mom is unresponsive. And I made the drive from Mountville to Mount Joy in the middle of the night. I remember praying over on the way over, "God, would you spare my mom?" And he didn't. Two and a half years later, I'm asking the question sometimes, why? Why didn't you not do that? I mean, I can see God, I've seen God's hands in both of those situations in different ways. And God has used those situations, but I'm here to tell you, I don't always know why. I'm not sure it's even for us to know in this life. But what I cling to is no matter what I'm going through, I can praise Him because these things are true of me. And they will always be true. Not because of anything I've done. There's nothing special about me. There's nothing special about you in the sense that Christ did that for all of us. And so we ask God. We tell Him what's on our heart. And I'm learning more and more to pray, God, this is my desire. This is what I'd love to see happen. But Your will be done. To hold those things with open hands and praise Him no matter what. Because His ways are higher than our ways. And His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And because He was willing to take the initiative to send His own Son to the cross so that I could have what's described in those verses, an inheritance, qualification to be in His family and to have redemption of sin. So we're going to do this. We're going to play a song. It's a song that's probably familiar to most of you. It's called God of Wonders. And it's going to be part of a video that's going to be up on the screen. It's going to go for about 5 minutes. At the end of that 5 minutes, I'm going to come out and pray. And then the praise team is going to come out and lead us in some more corporate worship. And I want you during this time to think about a couple things. I want you to think about your own prayer life. What are the things right now that are heavy on your heart that you've been asking God to do? Maybe you want to even talk to God about those things during this time. And maybe you need to kind of turn them over to Him. And go all the way from here to here. And then I want you to spend some time just thinking about who God is and reflecting on the words of the song and praising Him for who He is. And I know for some of you, you can watch these screens and that'll really help you connect with God. And for others of you, that'll just be a distraction. And if it is, that's okay. Just bow your heads or do whatever. Just use this time how you best feel fit. And at the end of this time, I'm going to come out and I'm going to close this in prayer. And then we're going to do some corporate worship, okay? Turn your attentions to the screen. Father, I thank You this morning. You are the Lord of heaven and earth. When we look up at the night sky, we can't even begin to see the vastness of this universe. And You're bigger and more powerful than all of that. And like Your disciples, Lord, I would ask that You teach us how to pray. May we grow, Lord, in not only our knowledge of prayer and how to do it, but I pray that we grow in our trust in You. May we learn to balance petition with open hands and praise. And as we worship together now corporately, Lord, I pray that You continue to speak to us and have Your way in our hearts. In Your name, amen.